Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I titled today's message, Two Storms. I started to call it A Tale of Two Storms, but that sounded a little bit maybe fictional. So I wanted it to be very plain. This is a tale or a story of two storms. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me, and we're going to be going back basically just between two books. We'll have one section just briefly and another, but we're going to go briefly between Jonah chapter 1 and Mark chapter 4. So if you want to kind of find those two places, and we'll be going back and forth between them. And we'll start off with Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And if you want to flip over then real quick to Mark chapter 4, verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. If you look at other translations, it says it was about to be swamped. It was about to sink. Anybody ever been in a boat that was full of water? No fun. I've told you a story a number of times about a little boat down in Guyana that Mary and I rode in one time called the Full Gospel, and I thought that was oh so appropriate because that boat was full of water when we first saw it, and they're bailing water out of it. And as we're crossing the Escobo River, the waves are crashing over the boat, and water is filling the boat again. And I'm sitting with my hand on the side of the boat or on the edge of the boat there, and my fingers are trailing in the water. That's kind of a scary situation sometimes. So here we have two ships. These aren't just little dinghies. These are ships, and they are in the midst of a mighty storm. So here we have two stories in the Bible of two different men, two boats, and two violent storms. And in both cases, the Bible tells us the ships are about to be destroyed, either by being broken into pieces, as was in the case of Jonah. It says the ship was about to be broken up. In the case in Mark, it says the ship was about to sink because it was filling with water as the waves crashed over the boat. And we find here, as the men become very concerned that are on these boats. If you were on those boats, don't you think you'd be concerned? Yep. I know I would. And some of these guys may have been like me. I don't swim too well. And I would be extremely concerned. And we have today life vests and life preservers. They didn't have them back then. These guys, once that boat broke up or it began to sink and go down, they were on their own in the waves. In fact, actually, they might have been a little bit better off if the ship broke up because they might be able to grab hold to a piece of wood and float with it. The Bible tells us of another storm, and the Apostle Paul was in that storm, and the ship was broken up, and the men grabbed hold of pieces of wood, those that couldn't swim, and were washed into the shore. And it was a somewhat similar circumstance as well because of these men being washed into shore because of the violent storm that had broken up their ship. But we then go into the story a little bit deeper. And we go back to Jonah, chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we not perish, or that we perish not. If you flip over to Mark, It says in verse 38 of chapter 4, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish?" Now let's go back and let's look at Jonah here. We find that he was asleep, it tells us, in the bottom of the boat. He was in the bottom of the boat, the storm is raging outside, and he's sleeping soundly. And the shipmaster comes down, and I don't know, he may have grabbed him by his robe and shook him and said, "Hey man, wake up! Don't you care that we're about to sleep? What is going on here? Why is this happening?" They begin to realize that their problem arose from this man that was sleeping in the bottom of the ship. You see, Jonah was running from God. In the other case, in Mark, it says that Jesus was asleep in the stern of the ship on a pillow. And the waves are crashing over the boat, and the disciples become excited, and what's going to happen to us? We're about to perish. And they say, "Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? I mean, if this gets any worse, we're going to drown out here. We're about to die, Jesus. Don't you care about us?" Two different storms, both violent, both about to wreak destruction upon those vessels, but yet two very different sets of circumstances. Let's look at these two men. Jonah. We normally just think about Jonah from what we read about in the book of Jonah. And by the way, the other day somebody sent me an email with a YouTube video on it, this little girl telling the story of Jonah, and she's probably about eight, we're guessing maybe about 8 years old. And it takes her about 7 minutes or 8 minutes, something like that, to tell the story of Jonah. But if you want the story of Jonah like you've never heard it before, I've emailed some of you that YouTube video. You got to watch that. I tell you, I've never seen a kid that young be able to tell that story with that much impact. Anyway, we think about Jonah, but let's find out a little bit about Jonah. We all know he was a prophet. We all know that God spoke to him. If we've read the Bible, the story of Jonah. A lot of people that don't even go to the church know the story of Jonah. We know that God said, "Go to Nineveh, preach to the Ninevites, tell them to repent." We know that Jonah ran from God. But let's just find out a little bit more about Jonah. And he's mentioned also in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. Again, that's 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. It says, "He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was of Gath-Hepher." So this is the same Jonah that we're talking about here in the book of Jonah, the son of Amittai. And he was a prophet during the reign of King Jeroboam the second. And he had a major role during this time because Jonah conveyed a message encouraging expansion to the king of Israel, whose reign was marked by prosperity, expansion, but unfortunately, moral decline. Sometimes when times get good, we seem to suffer moral decline. And during all this time, the moral corruption, the political corruption that was going on, Jonah remained a zealous patriot. In fact, no other prophet was so strongly Jewish in his confession. Because you see, they asked him in Jonah chapter 1 verse 8, and they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And then in verse 9 he says, and he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. He put it very plainly, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear God. I serve God who made the sea and the land. This is a man that Yahweh God himself has used in a major role. He has had the ear of kings. Yet we find this is a man who states, I fear God. Yet he's running from that very same God who put a call on his life. He was the prophet that God was using mightily. Yet God said, go to this people, speak to them, prophesy to them, and tell them, unless they repent, they will be destroyed. You know, the only recorded prophecy of Jonah, which is in the book of Jonah, is Jonah's prophecy to the king. It's only 8 words long in the English language. 8 words where he tells them, repent, basically, or God's going to destroy you. I think it's in chapter 3, I believe. And here is this man that's been mightily used of God. He's the man that God has spoken through to the king of Israel. And yet, God has said, go to Nineveh. And he says, not me. And he begins to go the other way. I was trying to do some research yesterday to find out how far Jonah was going the wrong way. I did look it up on one map and found out that Joppa was about 200 miles from Nineveh. But how far it was from Joppa to Tarshish and all of that, I got different figures, so I don't even want to quote any of them. But he was running from God, and he was doing his best to get away from going to Nineveh. You see, Nineveh was inland. That distance, not quite that much from the coast, but from where Jonah was at. Yet he was going somewhere else. He was trying to distance himself between where God had told him to go. And why did he not want to go there? You would think any man of God, when he's got a chance to tell the people, repent and be saved, or don't repent and be destroyed. He's got that opportunity to witness to a group of people and maybe save their lives. Would be eager to do so. But quite frankly, down in his heart, Jonah did not want those people to be spared. He would just as soon that God wiped them off the face of the earth. In fact, that's what he was hoping for. You go on to read the story of Jonah. He preaches repentance unto them. They repent, and Jonah throws a hissy fit. God, why? Why didn't you destroy them? I said you were going to destroy them, and you didn't do it. But they repented. Jonah didn't want them to repent. He had his reasons. And sometimes, unfortunately, we as Christians, we want God to do our will instead of God doing God's will. God has a purpose and a plan for everything he does. And there's a reason for what he does, because God knows what's coming up down the road. We don't. We think we do sometimes, but we don't always know what's coming up down the road. You see, if you read and you study the story of Nineveh, later on, they turned their back on God again, and they were destroyed. But God had a purpose for the people of Nineveh during that time. And he wanted them to repent so he could use them for that purpose. And there are times that God speaks to us to do something, and maybe it doesn't make sense to us. But we need to do what God speaks to us to do. We need to be obedient to the voice of God. And there are a lot of people today, and some that are in church and have been in church a long time, that are running from God. I've known people that have run from God almost their entire life. Maybe they're a Christian, but they're still running from God, and they don't want to do what God speaks to their heart to do. Maybe God has called them to do something. Not me, Lord, not me. And yet there are others that are in church and they're running from God, and the fact that God is speaking to their hearts and saying, repent, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit's dealing with them, and they're still running from God and saying, I'm okay, I'm okay. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people in the world today that go to church, some that don't go to church, that think down in their heart of hearts, I'm okay. A lot of people like Jonah today. Well, maybe they haven't had the ear of the king, but they know who God is. And some have even had a personal relationship with God. But today we find them spiritually asleep in the bottom of the boat while the storms of their life threaten to destroy them. While those storms rage on, they've had that relationship at one time or another, but they're spiritually asleep. Others have once had a relationship with God, and I know there's some folks out there that teach that you can't backslide, but the Bible, I think, teaches us otherwise. And they've gone on in their life, and they've run from God, and they've run from the point that they have lost out on their salvation. But the devil lies to them and tells them that they're okay, because they had that relationship. Well, I'm okay. I'm okay. If I died today, I'd be in heaven because I'm okay. And the devil's lied to them. They're asleep spiritually. And somebody needs to reach down and grab them and shake them by the collar and say, wake up, you sleeping person. You're about to die. You're about to be lost if you don't change something. If something in your life doesn't change. And I know personally people that have told me that they're okay when everything around you tells you, and that witness that comes from them tells you they're not. The devil's lied to them. He's convinced them otherwise. Jonah was running from God. As a result, it says in verse 10, and the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah said, guys, I'm running from God. You better throw me overboard because that's the only way your lives are going to be spared. Toss me overboard. And if you read the story of Jonah, those guys didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. They didn't want to be guilty of shedding innocent blood, so to speak. And Jonah said, throw me overboard if you want to be spared. If you read the story, you find out they cried out to God and said, don't hold us to blame for doing this. Those men got down to some quick conversations with God. And Jonah found himself checking into Hotel Pisces. That's the fish. Bible tells us God had prepared a great fish. And I know we talk about Jonah and the whale, but the Bible says fish. A great fish, and I believe that this was probably a fish unlike any fish that ever existed before and has existed since. Because this great fish had accommodations for one runaway prophet for a 3-day and 3-night stay. And sometimes when we're running from God and we're not doing what God has called us to do, we end up in our own Hotel Pisces. We end up in our own belly of the whale, so to speak, where we have to spend that time and we have to go through that hardship and we have to get things right with God as Jonah did. The Bible tells us that Jonah cried out while he was down there. Cried out, "Why? Lord, get me out of here." He said in verse 2 of chapter 2, and he said, "I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice." In the Hebrew, it says, out of the belly of Sheol. I was in torment down there. Can you imagine what it must have been like? Was not a pleasant stay. But let's take a look now at the other man. Here he is, asleep on a pillow in the stern of the ship. The storm is raging, and the ship is about to sink. But here comes the big difference. You see, when those who were with him on the ship came to him and shook him and said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" He stood up, looked into the face of the storm and said, "Peace, be still." And instantly, the storm ceased. And I know some will say, "But yeah, but this man you're talking about, this was Jesus. You know, he's the Son of God and all of this." Verse 41, it says, "And they feared exceedingly, and one said to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" If you want to have that peace in your life, if you want to have that calm in your life, and I know that as a Christian, undoubtedly, you are going to go through some storms in your life. The Bible shows that very plainly as we read about the apostles as they went out and began to preach the gospel. And the Bible, as far as the written word of God, ends with revelations and the death of the apostle John. And so we don't have but a short period of time there, roughly 70, 80 years maybe, that the scripture is written during that time that we have in the New Testament. But we know that those folks who accepted Jesus Christ and they walked with Jesus Christ and they had him dwell, those that had him dwelling in their hearts, those that were filled with the Holy Spirit, they went through some storms in their life. In fact, you probably find every one of them you read about went through some storms in their life. John, the apostle who wrote the book of Revelations, is the only one that wasn't martyred, and yet he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. He had to spend time alone there. Yet there was storms in his life. But in the midst of those storms, if we've got Jesus dwelling in our heart, he can say and speak to that storm, "Peace, be still." And even though it seems like the world is about to cave in around us, he can speak into our hearts, "Peace, be still," and give us the strength and the courage to face that storm that we're going through and to ride it out if we have to. Amen. Sometimes he may bring it to an immediate halt, but sometimes we ride it out, but he's there with us. And we know as long as we've got him in our heart that we're not lost. Doesn't matter. Sometimes we can look in, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, Jesus dwelling in our heart, we can look into the midst of that storm and say, "It doesn't matter the outcome of this storm. I've got Jesus in my life. And one way or the other, I'm going to be with him." Amen. He's there with me. He's there with me. We don't have to cry out as Jonah did, as he cried out from Sheol, "Oh, God, have mercy on me." We can say, "Jesus, calm my storm." And even though the storm rages around us, we can be calm. We can have that peace. We can have that serenity that's in our life. I think Brother Art's probably the only one that knows here why I grasp this side when I talk about the heart. But we can have him in our life. Peace. Peace. The question is today, which ship are you in? Are you in the ship running from God? Or maybe some that might be listening to me today, maybe you've never even had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Or are you in the ship that Jesus is on board and you have a relationship with him? And that when you know that when you go through the storms of life, you can call out and he will speak, peace, be still. But if you're one of those that's running from God, or you've not had a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've not had that personal relationship. And you know, that's the great thing about, since Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day, we can now have that personal relationship. We can have him dwelling in our heart. We can have him walking with us. We can talk with him. Isn't that fantastic? We can talk with him. So if you're running from God today, or you've never had that relationship, now is the time to ask him to come into your life, to ask him to make that difference in your life. You don't want to be the one who cries out of the belly of hell because of what you're going through, but you want to be the one that says, Jesus, I need a calm in my life, and he'll speak the words, peace be still. And Father, today, I don't know who this message is specifically designed for, but I feel this message today is by divine appointment for someone that's going to hear it. And I just pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to those hearts. And speak to those lives today, Father. And there are some that are right now in the belly of hell, so to speak. And they're crying out. And I pray, Father, that as you speak to their heart through the Holy Spirit, that they will cry out unto you and ask for that relationship with you and give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. I thank you for what you're going to do. And Father, I commend it into your hands now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.